No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Bear Essentials. On today's show, we recap the Bears' 33-6 preseason win over the Bills and much, much more. What's good, Perez?
Hey, man, I'm good over here. The Olympics, man, all wrapped up, man. You know how I get into the Olympics, duh, but it was sad. It was sad to see it in because I'm like, man, it's been such a good contrast from us covering the Bears to having like all those events going on. So now I'm like, damn. Oh, that's done with. Now I got to wait 4 more years. That sucked. But, hey, I thought it was a really great Olympics, man. I'm just highlighted by just so many amazing performances. Man, I really just loved that whole time. And, again, I appreciate so much that the Bears allowed Jonathan Owens just to have a small part in that whole Olympic thing. But just all together, man, the Olympics was just dope.
And to your point, you get to see the best go against the best, man, and on all these sports. I mean – I enjoy watching the USA basketball team, the women and the men. I mean, they brought home gold, baby. That was lovely. But some very good games, very competitive games.
And that women's game, bro, that thing went down to the wire, man. I mean, Gabby Williams, like, stepping on the line. I'm like, bro, that reminded me of KD in the playoff game. Anyway.
Man.
She drilled that shit, too. I was like, damn.
She sure did. I was like, wow. They did the replays and all that. You can see, oh, yeah, it was a two-pointer, man. But that was huge, bro. But it just shows the drama at the end of the game and how competitive that game actually was.
I'll tell you one thing, man. Kalia Copper.
Woo!
We miss her in Chicago. That's all I can say. I love having Angel Reese here. But God damn. Kalia Copper, they wouldn't have won gold if it weren't for her, bro.
Man, what she was able to do, bro, that extra boost coming off the bench. I mean, she impacted the game big time, man. And to your point, bro, they said she got that dog in her. We've seen it. She proved why she was a former MVP, you know what I mean? A former finals MVP, bro. So, yeah, man, she got it, bro. She's the real deal.
And then, again, salute to Team USA on the men's side. Shout out to that boy Kevin Durant, assassin. Easy money sniper. That boy was out there just balling, man. And this is the last time we're going to see him, Steph Curry, and LeBron in the Olympics. So I was embracing that, man. It's just, like I said, man, the Olympics, I love it. Our audience, I know y'all came here to listen to the Bears, but you're going to have to listen to me for a second talk about the Olympics. I love that shit.
Yeah, man. You talk about easy money sniper, man. Kevin Durant. Then you see Steph Curry go out there and do his thing, man. Those last couple games. I'm like, man. There's nobody in the world can do what Steph Curry does, bro. Those type of shots like that, man, from three-point, I'm like, man, I'm not sure anybody else in this world can ever do that, man.
Anthony Edwards had the best line possible. He said, Steph Curry, like, showed up 3 days ago, but he said, well, I'm glad he showed up.
He did not lie, man, because it's like Curry was struggling a little bit, bro. We saw that. You know, he was off, man. Then all of a sudden, he just caught fire. I'm like, wait a minute, where did this come from? You talk about going out with a bang? That's how you go out, man.
Everybody was so wrapped up on how many minutes Jason Tatum was playing and all this. I'm like, y'all just need to shut up. Who he going to take minutes from? LeBron? KD? Relax. He going to have his time in L.A. Right now, he should be learning. He should be learning the thing about leadership and seeing how these guys led that team. That's what I'd have been doing if I was Tatum. I'd have been taking that shit back to my team.
You go there, you learn, you grow, you take notes, man. And Kobe Bryant would always say, man, you with a group of guys, superstars like that, hey, you take something from each of these players and add it to your repertoire, you know, whether it's game, whether to your point, the intangibles, what do you need to take all that in? You take it, you soak it up, and then you go back to the Celtics, you come back a better player. That's what it's all about.
Yes, sir. Well, man, let's get into some of our Bears talk, man. Audience, we appreciate y'all for bearing with us as we get off our Olympics takes. But you know what? A-Dub and I ain't talked about the Olympics, so I felt like, you know what I'm saying, we needed to. So anyhow, the Bears, man, 33-6 victory over the Buffalo Bills. We've all been waiting to get a glimpse of Caleb Williams, A-Dub, in a Bears uniform and just to see how he was going to perform. And I'm not going to lie, man, I was impressed, bro.
And when you see the way he plays, Perez, it is impressive. Because the thing is, you see what comes second nature to him, man. You see the IQ. You see the accuracy, you know. Mm-hmm. You see the awareness when the pocket closes and how he reacts to that, man. And again, man, this guy is on the money. And he's more athletic than I thought he was, bro. I know that's the one thing I looked at. And I thought about things. I'm like, man, I don't know, bro. Because, you know, some of us like me. I'm sorry to the fan base. I like how Justin Fields' athleticism was, right? But I'm like, you know what?
They going to come for you.
I know, man. But I got to keep it 100, though, Perez. But I looked at Caleb Williams. I'm like, oh, man, he's quicker than I thought he was, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This dude can do the thing, man. We saw some glimpse of everything from Caleb Williams.
And that's the best part about it, right? You said he gave a glimpse of everything. We saw how he could move in the pocket. I liked how the Bears offensive coordinator moved the pockets for Caleb. Got him out on the run, the naked bootlegs. Yeah. I love those. The little flick pass he threw to DeAndre Swift that picked up a lot of yards. The pass he threw to DJ Moore, A-Dub.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here and trash Justin Fields, but I don't think Justin Fields would ever make that completion.
No, bro. There's no disrespect at all, man. And that's the thing that you and I look at Caleb Williams. This is the accuracy, bro. He got it, man. He can throw that boy the right way and on target.
But it wasn't just the accuracy of the throw. It was just all the other things he had to process in that moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He stayed in the pocket. He went through his reads. Then he looked over last second. Pew! Just fired it in there. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
He got it, man, and he just might be what they say he is, man, a special quarterback, bro. And just seeing these things this early on, and again, first preseason game, he had a lot to show. And the thing is, what's crazy is that the stats don't even tell it all. No. Because he should have been 6 of 7 instead of 4 of 7, bro, because we saw DJ Moore drop one. You know, he saw DJ Moore got frustrated. We did see, you know, co-commit drop one. That's and the right. only pass he made that what you say was a little off was to Rome in the end zone, right? And he had to place it that way a little bit because to make sure no defenders were there to pick him off. So I get it. But the thing is, this guy, man, can really throw the football.
And if you go miss in the end zone like that, that's the way you want to miss, right? So that shit ain't getting picked off.
Right. Exactly, bro. So that's the understanding of the game that he has, man, that some other quarterbacks just don't have.
And I think the biggest thing for me, because I was like, okay, you know what? If he did struggle a little bit, I wouldn't have held it against him. But the fact of the matter is, bro, this was like an early test. And he passed it, in my opinion, with flying colors. He looked like a fucking natural out there. Yeah. He did not look like a rookie quarterback to me.
And you know what's crazy, Perez? We haven't even seen the best Caleb Williams yet.
No, not yet.
That was just a little, like you said, small sample size, man. Like, hey, man, this is what we're seeing naturally right now at this stage of his young career. Imagine him, man, a year or two down the road in general. Man, look, I don't want to get overexcited right now, but right. I'm just telling you, man, like, look, I like what I'm seeing thus far.
Because to your point, right, we don't want to get overly lathered up about one game. But however, me and you both rewatched the game. I broke down a lot of the series that Caleb was out there. My biggest takeaways about him that I really enjoyed, the footwork was solid, but he was deliberate, right? And then another thing, he has command of the offense. You saw him making checks at the line of scrimmage, getting him in and out of things. So he actually has reins. They're giving him rein within the offense, which is something I didn't always see Justin Fields have the ability to do, which for, you know, whatever, you know, that probably was the coaching staff probably wouldn't allow him to do that kind of thing. But Caleb Williams looks like he has the ability to do those type of things. And he stepped into his fucking throws. That's what you want a quarterback to do.
But you said two great things, man. Stepping to his throws definitely was something that he's shown us. And to that point that I talked about a little bit earlier, it was second nature to do that, bro.
Correct.
It was no hesitation. He knew exactly what to do. But when you talk about commanding the offense, it just shows you what Eberflus and his staff, the level of trust they have for Caleb Williams. They're saying that, hey, what we saw in practice, he can do this. And I'm like, man, that's big ups to the coaching staff.
And another thing, A-Dub, the play that you talked about where he showed off that speed that you thought that he didn't have, and I told people,
yep,
Caleb Williams has always had that. He just always said that running isn't going to be his first option. But on that play, he saw that the Buffalo Bills were in cover two, and what he did, he said, bet, I'm about to get this first down. He tucked that shit and ran.
Right.
That shows an understanding of the game. For a rookie quarterback in this league, man, that really, I was really impressed. I really was.
And kudos to that slide, man. You know, they've been talking about working on that slide. You know what I mean? Got the quarterbacks all working on their little slide, man. We saw it on Hard Knocks, man. And then what you see happening in the game, man. Big ups right there to the coaching staff again.
Hey, shout out to you, Doug. That's awesome. I love that because you were right. That was a perfect slide. And you could tell he was out there like he was doing a slip and slide exercise. So, again, A-Dub's bringing even more analysis to all the things that this guy is putting on film. He did it all. He showed you guys a lot in two series. And we scored on both of those series.
This kid, man, right now is leading the troops already, man. And the thing is, these guys are following him, man. We got the vets following along with this kid, man. He's a rookie, you know? They rolling with him, man. And we've been hearing a lot of talks about it, of course, but just seeing it in action is a huge difference.
You and I have talked about it before. There was going to be some lofty expectations of Caleb Williams, but also there's going to be a lot of pressure. Because right. Before he took any sort of a snap, people was comparing him to Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Man, those are some big boy names, right, for you to be compared to.
Right.
And I tell you one thing, although it's a small sample size, you saw a guy right there that did not look phased by the moment, bro. He looked like he was built for it.
He is built for it. I'm just going to call it what it is now, man. Because you go out there, your first opportunity to show the people, the public, what you can do, and this is how you perform early on. Hey, man, it says a lot about you as a player, man. So if you talk about ready for the moment, he pretty much is, man. And to your point, being compared to all these other quarterbacks, including what C.J. Stroud did last season, it's mm-hmm. like, hey, okay, I'm going to show y'all guys something. I got something for you. I'm going to give y'all a little glimpse. That's what he showed us.
And he just never looked rattled. Like, nope. That was my biggest thing, A-Dub. I was like, you could just tell. Like, he just was like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He kept putting his hands above his helmet ear holes so that way he could hear the play coming in. But, man, once he was out there, man, he just, like I said, he looked like a natural. He went through his progressions, bro. Like, everything that he did, man, I was just like, escaping pressure.
Yeah.
Just, bro. And it's that arm. That arm talent, bro.
Man.
Jesus Christ.
And the thing is, bro, to throw that football in tight coverage, you know, and make it. I'm like, that pass about to Cole Kmet, in my opinion, was tight coverage.
Oh.
I'm like, man, how the hell did he make that play, bro? I didn't even see that coming. I'm like, damn. All right. Fair enough, man. You got it, bro.
So, and on the move, too, A-Dub. Yeah, on the move.
On the move, bro, which is Aaron Rodgers like, right? Right. Hate to say it that way. Sorry, guys, but hey, it is what it is.
Don't be sorry. You're just telling me what you saw. I feel you.
Hey, man, the kid is accurate, man. He's very good. And I like when you were going, you're talking about his pocket awareness, bro. You hit all the points on that, press. Because you're right, man. It did feel natural for him, man. He was extending plays, man, and then making plays. I'm like, this is too like the senior quarterback. And the thing is, his eyes remain downfield, man, you know? And he's on point with that. So these are things that we're going to see a lot of when it comes to Caleb Williams.
Now, I also want to ask you about Coleman Shelton because we know that he was moved to center by pretty much necessity of the issues that we've had with injuries. I'm not going to pick on people this episode, but y'all know what it is.
We do know.
But I'm like, hey, man, after watching how he performed against Buffalo, I'm like, hey, the Bears may want to end this battle, man, and just go ahead and name Coleman Shelton the starting center. But I was impressed by him as well in that game.
I didn't see any problems with Shelton. I'm like, look, man, the guy knows what he's doing, bro. It wasn't broke. He handled business. He stood his ground. He blocked pretty well. Hey, what are we talking about? Let's just secure what it is, you know? He ain't out there like Nate Davis who ain't been playing. He ain't been one of those guys. He's been consistent, bro. I'm sorry. I know you said we weren't going to pick on nobody, but I couldn't help it, man. It was just the moment, bro. But Shelton been that guy, bro. He's been playing consistently. He's been putting the work in, the effort. And you're right. We didn't see any issues right there at under center.
And also, Dub, on that play that Swift had, who was the one that made the key block? It was Shelton. So he showed you that he could hold up well against that interior rush from the Bills, but then also he was athletic enough to get out there in space and to help spring DeAndre Swift. So honestly, if Nate Davis is not going to be available, just go ahead and move Bates over there to guard and just keep this thing moving.
We ain't got to play around with that, Perez. We ain't got to talk about Nate Davis no more. We ain't got to go down that route of how Eberflus feels about him anymore. Hey, let's do the right thing, man. Let's move on. It didn't work out. We tried. We paid the man the money. It didn't work. Right? Let's move on.
So, and you know what? And to that point, A-Dub, with a rookie quarterback, it's important for him to have chemistry. You don't want to be playing musical chairs with the fucking center now.
Right.
So my whole thing is, hey, man, Caleb is showing you that him and Shelton have some really good chemistry together. Just keep things there, man. Like, yeah. You guys were very keen on making sure that you guys set Caleb up with a clean plate. Well, let's not do anything to dirty the plate.
Let's not muddy the waters here. I'm with you, Perez. If that's what's working, they got the chemistry, the consistency. Let's keep it there, man. I don't want you trying to play some things out with Ryan Bates, throw him under center there and ruin things, you know? Ryan Bates has spent a lot of time at that guard spot, you know? And right now he's in a good competition for, but he's also shown us that, hey, he's the more reliable player at that position. So to your point, man, let's keep this O-line as consistent as possible.
No, for real. Now, I got to ask you. So, in last week's show, people were definitely amused by the fact that I threw some shit out there about the quarterback two job. And they were like, Perez, you need to stop, man. We got our QB two. So, I do want to ask you, Dub, do you think the Tyson Bagent looked better game two than he did game one?
He actually did, bro. He looked better. I will say that, man. His throws, I mean, he's still showing us that, hey, you know what? He can get rid of the ball quickly. He did move very well in the pocket, bro. He actually kind of commanded the troops, I thought. He did a good job. Wasn't Caleb Williams like, but the thing is, he done very good at commanding the offensive line, getting players where they were. I mean, to that point, Perez, he did like a solid number two for sure in this game against the Bills.
And I would say this. I didn't think that anything he did was spectacular, but I would say after the first game with ripping, throwing three touchdowns, I thought he was kind of breathing down Tyson Bagent's neck a little bit. I felt like if Rippon would have had another similar game like that, we would be having a different conversation right now. But I thought that Tyson, to your point, I thought he was efficient out there. You know, he did what he had to do.
Right.
I thought they took a completion away from him. That one on the sideline, I thought that was good.
It looked good to me, though, you know, but the review, they said it didn't look good. Okay, whatever, man.
But I think it was because the ball was bobbled a little bit by Carlson. But he threaded the needle on that throw. That was a really nice throw.
Absolutely. That's what the quarterback job is. Throw it accurately like that. It's up to the receiver to catch it. So didn't happen that way. Unfortunately, you know, the quarterback takes a hit from a pass completion standpoint. But overall, you're right, man. Tyson looks solid.
Heading into the game that's coming up this week against the Bengals, I think that Bagent probably has that QB2 spot pretty much. I'm not going to say solidified, but I think he's in good spot. And the thing about it is that we keep talking about it with this team and with this roster. It's all about competition, right? And I think it's going to bring out the best in everybody. So, hey, this is good for Tyson at the grand scheme of things.
It really is, bro, because you know what? It's a lot of pressure on him. I thought, to your point, that Brett Rippon forced him to say, hey, look, you got to play a better game than what you've probably been showing, you know? And he forced Tyson to, hey, look good. So that's what you want, the competition. This is what the coaching staff been talking a lot about anyhow, Perez, like you're saying. So we got what we needed, bro, right there. And overall, it's just good to see competition at all these different positions.
So you remember on the last episode, A-Dub, I talked about the fact that we saw Velus Jones out there getting reps at running back. Right. In this game, we saw Velus Jones at running back. We also saw some Velus Jones on special teams. So I still, in my mind, think, well, Velus Jones will do something and you'll be like, hey, that was nice, Velus. He'll still kind of be a part of something where you're just like, come on, Velus. So it's like a roller coaster with him. But I thought at running back, A-Dub, I thought he was solid.
I thought so too, Perez. And that was, in a way, kind of a shocker to me, you know. And because I thought I looked at him more of maybe a wide receiver type player, you know, more so than running back, right? But he did. He was effective, man. Even that touchdown he got, I'm like, oh, that's nice, man. Good run by him. I mean, he got in the end zone, and good for him, you know. And you can see that his confidence is still rising.
But now, you know, it wouldn't be Velus if he wouldn't tripped over himself. So that one carry that he had, and I was like, all right, now, you know, we ain't just been on the show talking about this, bro. And you going to come out here and he tripped over Bagent on that play and they lost yards.
Yeah, he did. He did, man. You know, we're going to get that with him, bro. Like, it's going to be one great play. It's going to be one bad play on him, man. But, you know, I thought for him, it was a good showing. You know, it could have been worse. We see a lot worse for him, bro. So it's just good to see him starting to turn the corner a little bit.
But this is the thing, man. When you've been in the league, what, for 3 years, you're 27 years old, man, we expect more than turning the corner. True. I mean, this guy's younger than him and won 3 or 4 championships, you know? So, like, whatever. But he muffed that damn kick.
Yeah.
Return. So I'm sitting here like, bro, it's just this is the thing, man. He'll show promise, right? I thought he showed promise as a running back. He still got to clean some things up. But I just feel like this Velus Jones thing is just it's a roller coaster, and you just don't know what aspect of the roller coaster you're going to get.
Yeah.
Are you going to get the part that's going to thrill you? Or are you going to get the part that's going to scare the fucking shit out of you? Like, who knows?
And what's crazy, bro, the position that he thrived in, it's like, hey, we're loaded at the running back spot, you know? So does it really help his status? It pretty much doesn't, right? Because to your point, we use this guy at special teams a lot, you know, and we see him screw up a lot, you know, as a return. And it's like, oh, man, here we go again with that. So it's going to be tough for Velus Jones in general.
It's going to be easier for him at running back than it's going to be a wide receiver.
True.
You know, and I know Ian Willard, he fucking tore it up. And that's another thing. You get these undrafted guys that come in here with nothing to lose, and they ball out. So I look at a guy like Velus, and I'm like, hey, bro, this is a kid right here that wants it. And he ain't get 3 different chances. He's got 1 chance, and he's taking that opportunity. And he's running with it, literally.
2 touchdowns, bro. He proved himself. Like, look, hey, I understand Velus got in his zone, but I'm going to do it twice, you know? Make sure you all looking at me, you know? So you're right, Press. There's some people on this team, man, who are really hungry. And we've been talking about competition. There's another opportunity right here where we're seeing somebody like an Ian Wheeler go out there and show that, hey, look, if you think about Velus Jones, don't forget about me.
Well, that's the thing. He missed the Hall of Fame game because he was injured, but he was a guy during training camp that I noticed him out there, man, because like that speed, right? You know, when you see a guy that runs with that type of speed and power, it's not going to be somebody that you will easily forget about. And that's something that we've seen from him throughout camp. So when he got his opportunity in that game against the Bills, and I mean, he was running hard.
He was.
And mercy.
And to that point, Perez, running up the middle like that, bro, I mean, it was like Roschon Johnson-esque, you know? I'm like, man, dude, he coming in with a lot of power, bro. So you running like that, man? You right, Perez. That's a memorable moment when you see that. This guy you can put, you know, on goal line, you know?
And that's my point. And that's why when you were talking about Velus Jones, a running back, hey, listen, there's a spot that's available right there. Travis Homer, hey, your spot ain't guaranteed just because you solid on special teams. So right. A guy like Wheeler, a guy like Velus Jones, hey, he might be able to snatch that mug. I think Khalil Herbert is safe. Somebody did ask me, they're like, Perez, you brought up a good point about Khalil Herbert. I think Khalil Herbert has a lot of value in his league. He's going to be a solid number 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the way that Eberflus plays Swift and Herbert, I can see that working out very well, bro. Because it looked good, honestly, you know. And you got, you know, your boy Swift for certain plays. You got, you know, Herbert for certain plays. And I thought Herbert played very well in the game, man, against the Bills. So I'm like, hey, this is probably what Eberflus is envisioning, how he want to utilize the running backs.
Exactly. Let's switch over to defense, A-Dub. Now, Austin Booker, this was a guy that we talked a lot about at the draft time. And we talked about how Ryan Poles traded back into the 5th round to select him. Everyone has talked so much about finding that edge rusher opposite of Montez Sweat. When you look at a guy like Austin Booker and what he was able to do in that Bills game, he literally looked unblockable out there.
I mean, you talk about applying pressure. This guy was getting back that wheel, man. I'm like, man, this dude here, I said, Montez Sweat not even playing. This guy doing this, you know? But I understand people going to say get second string, third string players, whatever. But the thing is, to see him do it like that, bro, I mean, that speaks volume to him. So I was actually happy for All-Star. He put Bouchel down a few times, man. And I'm like, hey, this dude here is impactful because you're right. Applying that kind of pressure, speeding the quarterback up, forcing the quarterback out of pocket. I mean, he done his job very well, man. So if he can be one of those guys that the Bears can rely on, man, salute to Austin Booker for coming out of nowhere, man, and just showing everybody, hey, I belong on this team, and I deserve to get some of those snaps.
Well, that's the thing, man. I'm not surprised because he was solid in the Hall of Fame game. He's somebody that came in here from the OTAs. And all summer we heard, hey, Austin Booker, he could be that guy. Well, we're seeing it. To your point, 2.5 sacks. Man, the guy played like less than 30 snaps. And that's the type of production he got.
Right.
And I'm telling you, those reserves, they were fucking tearing up Bouchel and the rest of those Buffalo Bill backer quarterbacks. That Bears defensive line wasn't playing no games.
Oh, those Bears on the defensive line, man, they were playing no games, man. They were out there applying pressure as a unit, bro. They were getting back there, and they were wrecking havoc.
I'm telling you, man. And you know another thing, too, when it comes to Booker that I forgot to even talk about, which really, really is the number one thing about him that I like, is he plays with a motor, and he just doesn't stop. And this is what quarterbacks were trying to scramble away from him, and he was still chasing these guys down.
Right.
That's a dimension, man, that this Bears team has not had on defense in a long time, man. And I'm telling you, we aren't seeing anyone really stand out opposite of Montez Sweat to say, hey, I'm coming to get that spot. But we keep hearing Austin Booker's name keep coming up, and he's emerging.
I love what I'm seeing out of him, bro. And I'm glad he is emerging because right now, man, to your point, we could use somebody opposite of Montez Sweat. And imagine if he brings that to the regular season, bro, if that happens, if it carries over like that. But right now, I'm very much impressed on what he's been able to do thus far.
Hey, your boy Dominique Robinson made a big play in the game as well, A-Dub.
Hey, man, let me tell you something, bro. I was happy to see Dominique Robinson make a good play. But to come back like this, having a good preseason game, getting back there, man, trying to cause problems for the quarterback. Hey, look, I like that. And that's what you want to see more of Dominique Robinson, man. But right now, it's crazy, though, because Austin Booker may have passed him up, bro.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not just him. I mean, I know DeMarcus Walker's going to get his snaps, but right. I feel like Austin Booker is working his way into being in the rotation from a pass rush standpoint. And this is on the heels of potentially Hassan Reddick requesting a trade from the Jets. And I had a bunch of people saying, Perez, what you think about that? And I said, well, listen, a guy like that can really turn this Bears defense from a top 10 defense to a top 5 defense with Montez Sweat. Right. But then I look at it and I say, but if Austin Booker continue to emerge, maybe we can get away with just rolling out the rookie with in tandem with a DeMarcus Walker.
Do you go after a guy like Reddick, or what do you do?
See, I don't know. So you got a guy like Austin Booker that's been playing really solid, and you got a guy like DeMarcus Walker who's under contract.
Right.
Now, I know that neither one of these guys are proven, right? With DeMarcus Walker, he had the 7-sack season and got him the contract. But really, these are guys that are still kind of like not finished products.
Right.
Like a guy like Hassan Reddick, we know what he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Ryan Poles, I would be willing and interested in improving this team by any means necessary.
And he is a guy that can help the Bears. I mean, you saw what he did with the Eagles. I mean, nobody need to talk about that part of it. The dude is a Pro Bowler for a reason, right? He earned it. You know what I mean? He earned his stripes. He did his thing. But the thing I really have a problem with him on is the fact that he ain't been playing no football. I mean, he done missed right. camp and all this stuff. I'm like, so if we do go after him, Perez, well, is he even ready to play? You know what I mean? How long is it going to take, you know? And that's the only thing I'm concerned about when it comes down to him.
Well, we've seen this before with Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack sat out, I don't know how many weeks, and almost probably like a month. And True. He came in here to Chicago fucking opening day and wreaked havoc on the Packers, right?
Yep.
So I don't know. I wouldn't use that as my rationale. But what I will say is, it's an easy trade for the Jets to make because you're not trading him within the division. The Bears don't play in a division with the Jets. If he wants out, I mean, come on, Ryan Poles, you got a guy potentially that's unhappy. Make the move. Why would you hesitate? He didn't hesitate to pull the trigger on the Montez Sweat deal.
True. I agree with you that part, Chris. It'll be interesting to see what the Jets want for him, you know? Because you never know, right? That all that stuff does matter, what they're looking for. But to your point, a guy like Ryan Poles can figure that out. I mean, we've seen the guy figure out so many things already for Chicago Bears. So it's not something I'm really worried about from that perspective. So, hey, look, Ryan Poles, you've shown that you can negotiate. You can make things happen. So having Montez Sweat and Reddick could be a very big thing for the Chicago Bears down the road. And the thing is, that's the type of stuff that opened up things for other players for sure. You know, therefore, no one can really key in all the way on Montez Sweat and think it's cool. Look, got another guy that able to wreak havoc out there as well.
Yeah, but then also to that point, then you have the interior of the defense, right, that you open up things for because you yep. can't just sit up here and double-team Montez Sweat.
Right.
So, Jesus Christ, that would be insane. Now, the one thing I will say is a move like this is possible because you have Caleb Williams on a rookie contract.
Right.
So they could maneuver this. So I'm saying now, Ryan Poles, if you listen, it wouldn't be the worst phone call you made. Now, see what's cracking.
Exactly. And here's the other thing, though, Perez. I'm quite sure Redick's looking for maybe a long-term deal, right? That's part of the reason why he's probably holding out, right? So it's like, okay, Ryan Poles, you've shown the ability to be to negotiate through things like that. It didn't take you long to sign Montez Sweat. So it's like, hey, if this is a guy that you think would be very good for the Bears long-term, that is something you can definitely make happen as well.
And this is the thing, man. Whenever you have a player that's unhappy with their situation, it's one of those things that as a GM, you have to like really look and understand, okay, what's going on? Because the Jets are saying that they're not going to trade. Well, then you're just going to continue to have an unhealthy, and I'm saying, you're just going to continue to have an unhappy player on your roster, on your team. That makes a distraction for your team that's unnecessary. You already got Aaron Rodgers on your damn team. That's the biggest distraction in the world. You don't need another.
Right. You definitely don't need that, man. You need a guy that, hey, if he's going to cause them kind of problems, might as well let him go ahead and move on to another team. I mean, if you're the Jets, right, you're trying to accomplish something. If you can't really salvage that relationship, hey, move on from it, right, and give him a chance to go somewhere where, hey, he can turn back the clock and have a good situation to execute on.
The Jets, they haven't budged. Redick and his camp, they've been trying to negotiate with the Jets on the contract. It hasn't happened the way they wanted to, and he hasn't reported to camp. And I think the Jets, the way they're looking at it is, if you haven't even come to camp, you're not even dealing in good faith. So guess what? You know what? You could continue to sit out, and we're not trading you. So I wish that more teams kind of had that type of mindset. Now, it worked out for us with the Khalil Mack trade, but I'm just telling you, some of these organizations, they should just call the bluff of the player every once in a while. Just call the bluff.
At the end of the day, you know, the player want to take his own career in his own hands by wanting to hold out. Okay, we'll see where it gets you. But to your point, man, it's good to see an organization saying, hey, look, we'll fight you on it. We'll see how far we go.
But Ryan Poles, pick up that phone. Pick up that phone.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with checking in. Hey, have y'all had enough yet?
Right. Seriously. All right, let's give us some game balls before we get out of here. A-Dub, offense, what say you?
I got to go with Ian Willen on the offensive side, bro.
Okay, that's
a... You said it earlier, how you ran the football. I mean, got in the end zone, man. Came out there and said, look, I want to be part of this team. I want a roster spot, you know? So to go out there and play that way, hey, you're giving yourself an opportunity.
I mean, and just with that said, man, taking advantage of your opportunities. You and I talk about that so much on this show. That's what the preseason is about. That's what training camp's about. Guys putting themselves in a position to go out there and earn a roster spot. You know what I mean? And so my thing is, whether it's a final roster spot, whether it's a practice squad spot, I think that Ian Willen put himself in a really good position.
Sir.
All right, I'm gonna go the easy way out because A-Dub took the guy that I was going to give the game ball to. So I got to go Caleb Williams. He only played in 2 series, audience. But like I said, they scored on both possessions that he led the offense. Now repeat anything that I said earlier. Caleb Williams showed me something. I went into this game. I was going to be very hard on him. You should have saw me, A-Dub. I was sitting over here. I had my notebook out. And I was documenting every one of his throws. And then I looked back at my notes and I'm like, I was like, there was only one of his throws that really was a bad throw. And honestly, it wasn't even all that bad of a throw because he threw it to somewhere where he gave the receiver a potential chance. Yep. It was an incompletion. I said the one throw, like A-Dub said, was a drop. And you're not going to get many of those from DJ Moore, right? So DJ Moore, he was like kind of took responsibility for that. He's like, hey, that was me. That was my bad.
Right.
But the reason why Caleb Williams is getting this game ball is, as I said earlier, looked poised, confident, efficient while he was running that offense. And again, audience, if this was just a glimpse of what we're going to expect from 18 this season, sign me up. Let's go.
Let's go, Prez. He's proven right now, man. He is the guy. I love what I'm saying from Caleb Williams.
All right, defense. What say you?
So a lot of guys on defense that play well, Prez. You know that already.
Yes, sir.
The guy I'm going with, bro, is I'm going to go with Hardy. I thought Daniel Hardy played extremely well, man, on defense. I mean, he was out there getting sacks too, Prez. It wasn't just, you know what I'm saying, Austin Booker we saw out there. But I got to give Daniel Hardy his credit, man, because to go out there and do your thing like that, man, put one on Bouchel as well. Hey, you letting these guys know that, hey, I'm here to play too, man. And I got something to play for as well.
Also, one of his sacks I really enjoyed because it was like on 3rd and 15. And it's just, you know, the big time sacks that happen on 3rd down when you get an offense off the field, that's why you want your pass rushers to make those type of plays. So, honestly, I loved it. And to your point, he had 2.5 sacks as well. these reserves and these backups, man, I'm telling you, Austin Booker, we know going to make the team. But a guy like Daniel Hardy, hey, he's fighting for his roster spot. And I tell you one thing, man, he have another game like this, it's going to put somebody on notice. Dominique Robinson, somebody. Come on now.
If he come up there and do that again, man, it is going to be pressure on others, man. But that's what you want to make. And we keep on hitting. We keep on saying this. Eberflus and his defensive staff has been saying about competition. This is what they want. They've been on it, bro. And I can't say nothing bad about the defense. They coming out and playing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know. My game ball is going to my boy Micah Baskerville. And I just talked about him on the last show when Valus Jones ran him over in practice. And I told y'all, I'm not letting that just one little practice play deter me from the type of player that I know that Micah Baskerville is. He was one of my favorite players in the preseason last year. And in all he does this time around, I know he had a rough Hall of Fame game. Yeah. Yeah. But he comes back in the game against the Bills, pick six, out there catching interceptions with the hands, out there looking like a running back out there taking that thing to the house, A-Dub.
When I saw him, I'm like, who that is? That's Ray Evans? Who that is, man? No, I'm joking. But, man, to see him do that, bro, I was like, wow, this is what I'm talking about. So this is how you get noticed for sure, you know? So to take it back like that, bro, the way he caught the football, he read it very well, bro. Picked it. Boom. Back to the end zone. That's what I'm talking about. Making a good play, a huge play, man, and also put points on the board.
And see, that's what we need to do with this defense. Take it back to the Lovie Smith days when we were getting points from our defense. That's what I want to see from this Matt Eberflus defense, because you saw Micah Baskerville, when he got that thing, he had one idea, and it was to get into the end zone.
Yep.
We need our defenders to have that type of mentality again. Let's get back to playing like we used to. And Micah Baskerville, he's fighting for a roster spot, and I'm hoping that he can have another performance like this against the Bengals, and he can ball. Like, this is a kid from LSU. He has that stock. He has NFL talent. And my whole thing is, listen, if given an opportunity, I think he can really show this organization something.
I hope we get opportunity, Prince. Hey, man, if Baskerville get a chance, he earned it, bro. So nothing was handed to this guy, man. He had to go out there and play his butt off to get this opportunity.
Should we give a bear down for this week, or should we keep it positive?
You know what, man? I want to hear the bear down, bro. I want to hear it, man. I want to hear it.
All right, now, see, audience. Now, that's why I asked. That was the good cop, bad cop, right? Because y'all know I'm bad cop. So A-Dub's a nice guy right here. So now that he's allowing me to be bad, I'm about to be bad. Tyler Scott, I need you to step down to the front of the congregation, sir.
Ooh.
Now, I'm probably nitpicking. That's audience, I'm probably nitpicking here. Now, Tyler Scott, in my opinion, has had a really solid training camp.
True.
He's been one of Caleb Williams' favorite targets in practices. But he had a couple of mishaps in the game on Saturday now. Fumble on a handoff.
Mm.
He was able to recover it, so I give him his props there. We can't have that.
Yeah.
Also, Velus Jones with the muff of the kickoff return. Mm. Tripping over his player. Come on, we can't have that, Velus. Like, he's like the two steps forward, two steps back. Come on, Velus, step it up. So right now, it might be nitpicking, but I think Tyler Scott in that game, he didn't do himself any favors.
And you hit a good point you talk about Tyler Scott, Perez, because hearing all you've heard in training camp about him that you talked about, I was expecting more, and I did not get it. That's what it come down to. You know, I'm like, hey, where are you at, Tyler Scott? Up there, you got to show me, man, on the field. It's great to hear about you in practice. Fantastic. But at the end of the day, man, we want to see some results, and we ain't get them from you this time around. So the next opportunity, you got to make the best of it, bro.
Do you want to give one, or you think we good?
We're good.
He going to make me be the bad guy. I'm okay with that.
Got to. I like when you're the bad guy.
That's all right. That's what I do around here. I know my job, and I do it well, A-Dub.
Extremely well.
Damn, listen to him. Look at him. Listen to him agreeing with me, y'all. Damn, what are you trying to say?
I love it, man.
Well, listen, audience. As we've been saying since we got back on here, man, it's been dope to be back. And A-Dub, and we're going to get back to him later in the week after the Bengals game. Probably another Bears dub. And, yeah, man. We get to hang out with our boy Tyson Anderson from the Bengals. So we're going to chop it up with him probably on Friday. Audience, you know, we hanging out with the ops. But, you know, Dub and I, you know what I'm saying, we got something up our sleeves for old Tyson. Don't you worry. We'll tire him out.
Exactly. We'll do that for sure.
Well, man, listen, audience, we're going to holler at you guys later on this weekend. Until then, we are out.